Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Welcome to the show, everyone. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. Listen online each and every week at wdiy.org or on the WDIY app or many streaming services. Today is December 3rd, 2025. The markets were up today with the Dow closing at 47,882. The NASDAQ at 23,454 and the S&P at 6,849. Our topic tonight is tax planning in times of transition. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Bob and Cindy are in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. You can speak live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable speaking live, you can give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down and bring it in to me. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So you could submit questions, show ideas, whatever you might like to give input on at yourfinancialchoices.com. So talking about tax planning in times of transitions, it just seems like this year I've had a lot of clients who have gone through periods of transitions. It could be job changes. It could be children, you know, becoming adults and going off their tax return, having children, deciding to make some changes in charitable planning, changes in jobs, switching from jobs, you know, losing jobs or retiring from jobs, just a lot of changes. So I thought it might be a good idea to kind of talk about some of the tax planning opportunities that may exist in these times of transitions. And really, it's more highlighting, as I started to get ready for the show, it was more almost highlighting the events that can happen that would cause you to have to go do some tax planning. So I may not be telling you all of the tax saving strategies tonight, but more alerting you to the changes that you could experience that would really require you to like take an extra look and take some extra time. And I kind of broke it down into what I'll call like mid-year changes, meaning changes that happen during the year that would require some extra review. And then there's always new year changes. So what's happening for next year? What could be different for next year? How can we plan for that? New employers, there's facets of, you know, benefits that you have to look at and understand when you have a new employer, what you want to consider. And you could have inheritances that also would be a period of transition if you've, inherited recently. So the concept is you want to think ahead. And as I say at the end of every show, be proactive, not reactive. You know, I had people saying that to me today and I thought, where did they hear that from before? So, let me kind of break down some of what I'll talk about. And I'm going to give you like kind of a bullet list and then I'll dig into it a little bit more. So mid-year changes, this was my like, you know, my throw it all down on the piece of paper and then I'll go through it. It could be job reduction or job loss. Job reduction, maybe you go from a full-time job to a part-time job. Maybe, you know, one spouse stops working when, you know, the other one retires and one continues to work. So job reduction or job loss, you could lose your job. You could be retiring, so job changes. And what kind of things do you have to pay attention in that regard? And again, I'll go into more detail on all of these, but I'm just going to kind of word vomit it out to you if you're listening at the beginning of the show here. What do you have to pay attention to if you have a job change, like a job loss? Flexible spending accounts, you need to spend those before you leave. Charitable giving matches. If your company does charitable giving matches, you like to take advantage of that. That might be something if you know you're going to be leaving a job. You know, keep that in mind to get that match for your favorite charity. Healthcare options, what are you going to do? Line of credit, do you need one before you lose your job? Job opportunities, if you're working, you've had a job change. A job change doesn't have to mean a reduction or a loss. It could be a promotion. It could be more benefits available to you. It could be stock options, RSUs, which are restricted stock units. It could be choices of stock options, restricted stock units, or cash. We have a number of clients who have any of those options available, and the employers are giving them, their employee, the choice. Early retirement packages, timing of early retirement packages. If you're resigning or retiring, there could be a difference in benefits or things that might be available to you. Children, this again, mid-year changes that may occur. You could be adding to your family, or you could have a child kind of graduating off your tax return when they graduate. There could be tax planning strategies there that I want to talk about. Filing status changes. You could be getting married. You could be getting divorced. There could be a death of a spouse. So filing status changes that you'd want to pay attention to. Lifestyle changes. Was there a change in health? Is there disability income now? Do you have long-term care? Is someone in the family getting long-term care? Pensions. If you have a mid-year change in a job, you may have had to file for a pension. What does that look like? Do you understand pension election options? When do you take it? That could all make a difference. I'm going to talk about that. Social Security elections, mid-year changes. You might have been, maybe you retired, you could be on the marketplace or, you know, penny.com in Pennsylvania for health insurance, and then you turn 65 mid-year. That's a mid-year change. Maybe you're going to go on Social Security. Maybe you're going to go on Medicare. What are you electing at this point for those things? And if you were part year on the marketplace, the Affordable Care Act health insurance, and were eligible for premium tax credits, what you do with the rest of your tax return for the rest of the year could impact that. A new year changes. What do you want to pay attention to? Well, many of us have already gone through open enrollment. Open enrollment I usually see with companies October, November, December. And in that open enrollment period, you're typically picking options for benefits for the next year. Those options for your benefits could be your health care, could be flexible spending accounts, could be health savings accounts. If you have changes, life changes that happen, that could be an opportunity or a window could open for you to maybe update those or change those, but also be aware of what the changes are for the new year and did you take advantage of them. I'll give you a quick example. For flexible spending accounts for dependent care, I think the max in 2025 was like $5,000, and under the new tax provisions in 2026, I believe it's going to $7,500. You had to elect that in open enrollment, and some people probably just do same as last year, and they may not have realized that. You might have missed out on it, but if you still are in an open enrollment period, you may be able to grab that. And of course, again, always if there's a life event that now you have had a child, if you have a child mid-year next year and your employer provides a flexible spending account for dependent care, you can go talk to HR or go to your benefits, you know, portal and say you had a life event change. Some other things that could impact you in the new year, retirement plan contributions. You might have hit one of those, you know, ages that allows you to do catch-ups. And the catch-ups are getting a little bit more complicated than they used to be because now there's different catch-up limits. And I'll talk about those as we go through the show. You also want to pay attention to your cash flow planning. and employer benefits. So we'll talk about inheritance if we have time. Folks, we're already at the first break, and that was just me hitting the bullet point list of what I want to talk about. So if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
For the past three decades, WDIY has sustained itself through direct contributions from listeners. Our model is simple. The people who listen to the service are the ones who support the service. As WDIY celebrates its landmark 30th anniversary, we invite you to join us as a WDIY member by making a membership gift today. This is something you could do right now to make a meaningful difference in your community. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or online at wdiy.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1 FM. We are talking about tax planning in times of transition. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. And believe me, your questions always help other listeners as well. So if you have a question, I love to hear them. It's my favorite part of the show is when people call in with questions. And you can talk live with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down and I'll take a look at it. So let's now slow it down a little bit. I know I get a little hyper when I'm on the show. I've been very busy lately. And why? Because we're at year end. And quite often, it's not that we're doing our year end tax plan. I call it tax planning. And why I'm so busy at the end of the year is tax planning. But really, we've already been doing the planning all year long. What we like to kind of firm up is by the end of the year, are we on target for that tax planning to work the way we thought it was going to work? Did we miss any opportunities? What else might we look at? And so there still is time to do some of this tax planning. But let's break it down in periods of transition right now. So as I mentioned, a job reduction or job loss, I said for the flexible spending accounts, typically what I see is people get used to thinking they have like a few months after the end of the year to kind of like spend their FSA. But the rules on that, I think, kind of have changed a little bit. I just saw something that said you have 3 months to spend like an extra, you know, a certain dollar amount. But the flexible spending accounts for 2026 for medical is $3,400. And for dependent care, it's $7,500 per household. If you're married filing separate, you split it. But $7,500 for dependent care for the household. So if you have not already gone through open enrollment, that's something to keep in mind because the dependent care, you forego, you know, federal tax on that. So that is really like a huge bonus and save on certain other, you know, taxes as well. But you want to spend it before you leave because when you're employed, you have a certain amount of time to get reimbursed for those. But if you leave employment, what I've been told and have heard is that if you leave and you haven't spent it, you lose it. So make sure if you are aware of a job change, sometimes you get walked out and maybe you get walked out with 2 weeks pay or severance. You can see if you can still, you know, put in for reimbursement from those flexible spending accounts. Because again, some of these things you can plan for and some you cannot. So let's talk about the charitable giving is something that could happen mid-year if you are going to retire or leave employment or, you know, you could just be let go. But if you're working for a company that does charitable matches on your charitable giving, you want to make sure you get that before you leave. And I don't know if I would have thought about that, except that I have a client who retired and did his charitable giving before he left so that he could get the match. And that is just a huge bonus and plus for the charities, the nonprofits, because it's like just all that extra, donations is really valuable for them. So charitable giving matches, pay attention to that. If you're someone who thinks you're going to retire this year, especially if you are in 2026 or mid-year in 2026, or maybe you're going to retire by the end of this year and your company does charitable giving, maybe you matches on your charitable giving, maybe you want to review that as well. Mid-year changes, reduction or job loss, how does that impact your healthcare options? And the reason I mention that as tax planning, just as the FSA has tax implications, the charitable giving has tax saving opportunities perhaps, and healthcare options. How could that impact you? Well, if you lose your job or you have job reduction or lose health care, you may have to go on the marketplace for health care. And again, Pennsylvania is where we air out of and where it's a state-based plan. It's penny.com. If you could qualify for premium tax credits against the healthcare cost, it's really important to manage the income on the tax return. So there may be opportunities for you to do that if you have enough notice and can watch it if you do have to go on the healthcare exchange, because you may be offered COBRA, but COBRA may be more expensive. And those premium tax credits, we don't really know yet what's going to happen with those. Under the Biden administration, they put a cap on the repayment. If you took the advanced credits and your income was higher than what you had projected and you were getting kind of an offset on those premiums, based on one income level, but then you made more money and maybe you weren't really entitled to that full credit, there was like a cap on the repayment, and that is one of the items that was set to kind of go away, the cap. So more people were going to have more exposure on the cost of their health care if they had gone through the exchange. So you kind of want to watch that, be aware of that, because that impacts your tax return. So, for example, if you take an advanced premium tax credit on your health care that you get on the exchange and your income is higher than you estimated and you're not entitled to that full credit, it gets reconciled on your tax return and you may have to pay it back. That's why it's a tax planning item, because you could pay it back. Now, if you actually maybe you didn't take the advance credit and your income was low enough that you would qualify for the advance premium tax credit, you get that on your tax return then. So again, sometimes there's some planning opportunities there. And when I say planning opportunities, what might that be? Well, we could have a situation where someone has enough cash in the bank to manage some of their cash flow. And if we maybe have them do more into a 401k, it could lower their income to get under the thresholds for the advanced credit. Or instead of taking money out of retirement accounts to manage their cash flow, they could just use cash and keep their income on their tax return a little bit lower. All right. If you have I just threw this one in there. It's not necessarily tax planning, but if you're thinking about leaving work, and let's pretend you've paid off your mortgage and you don't like debt and you don't have any debt, but you're still working and are going to retire in a few months, you might want to think about applying for a line of credit. And that line of credit you may never have to use, but it would be much harder to get that line of credit after you retire if you have no sources of income. So that might be something to think about too, if you don't already have a line of credit and you're retiring, and you may need some kind of a line for emergency reserves or emergency spending, you might want to apply for a line of credit. When we come back from this next break, I'll talk a little bit about mid-year changes that could have tax ramifications as well related to certain job opportunities like early retirement packages, the planning and timing of that, resigning versus retiring, and when you're bonused out in choices of stock options, RSUs, or cash. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY is pleased to offer programming support to Zollner Art Center, presenting the Lehigh University Philharmonic and 1001 Nights on Friday, December 5th and Saturday, December 6th at 7:30 p.m. The Lehigh University Philharmonic opens its new season with a celebration of musical storytelling. Program highlights include Tchaikovsky's iconic Romeo and Juliet overture and Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade, under the direction of Kyle Wernke. For information, zollnerartcenter.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Laurie Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We're talking about tax planning in times of transition. So let's talk a little bit about job opportunities. You may be in a job at a company that may be looking for people to raise their hand to retire early. You might be one of those people who could raise your hand, meaning if you're 30, maybe not 35, maybe not 40, but maybe you're 55, 56, 59, and you're getting wind of, the company thinking about offering packages, because sometimes they do. The bigger companies might offer an early retirement package. You might want to pay attention to the timing of that to the extent that you can. And what I mean by that is, if they're going to offer an early retirement package and you're in a financial position to be able to take that early retirement package, typically what we might see is, a year's salary as a incentive for you to retire early. I know my husband got that. It was so a year's salary. I don't know if that's supposed to be disclosed. Anyway, a year's salary based on your period of service, your time of service in the job. They may say, hey, would you be willing to retire early? Now, if you get offered that kind of package and they give you a window to take that and make a decision on that, to take that early retirement package on it, December, when you can take that same early retirement package in January, when might we want to take that? Well, if you've worked the entire year of December and they give you an early retirement package incentive with a year's pay or 6 months pay or 4 months pay, now that's going to get added to your year's worth of salary. So you could, accidentally put yourself into a higher tax bracket by electing to take that early retirement package in December if you have been given flexibility. So if instead you say, yes, I will take that, I will sign the paperwork, let's make it January, then that will push that income into the next year when you're otherwise perhaps not working. Because if you take the early retirement package, you may not work again. You may retire early, literally. Now, some people will take an early retirement package and then go to work at another job, and that's fine too. But you've now pushed the taxation of that, forward a year plus, because your tax return doesn't get filed until April of the next year. So you kind of give yourself a little bit of wiggle room on the tax implications of that decision. So if you have a choice, that could help. It might also help with extending your health insurance a little longer. Certain plans may kick you off the health insurance the minute you separate from service. But quite often we see health insurance, if you're employed the first day of the month, you kind of pay forward. And so you have health insurance through the end of the month. And that could be, critical to having, healthcare options and giving you the time to decide what you're going to do after that regular coverage. Meaning, okay, now I have a month to kind of breathe to decide, do I take COBRA or do I, go get health insurance privately or through the exchange? So timing of those early retirement packages could be important. It's also really important for you to pay attention to your own financial situation to see if you actually are one of those people who can raise your hand. I really love when clients come in, we do the planning, we say, do you want to retire? They say, well, you know, I don't need to retire. I like working. I don't mind working, but can I retire? Yes, you can retire. If the plan shows that you can retire, and then you hear about these, you know, early retirement packages, you can go in with much more confidence knowing that you would be okay, you know, whether you retire or not. And then you raise your hand and, you know, it's just gravy to get the early retirement packages in those situations. You also want to be careful of, you know, are you resigning or are you retiring? I love working with clients, and the number of clients we work with, you get exposed to a lot of different situations. And you know, I learned that you may be given like a stock award. We call those restricted stock units. We see lots more of those in the past decade versus stock options that companies used to give, you know, much more often. We see more restricted stock unit awards, which is they award you with the incentive of here, we're going to give you stock based on this value today. And but you have to work here 3 years or you have to work here 4 years. So there's like a grant date, an award date, and then a vesting date. And I learned today that if someone retires versus someone resigning, they may get those restricted stock unit awards even if they didn't stay like the requisite 3 or 4 years. So it could be different for each company. You have to understand the plan options that are available to you. I think it's really important to make sure that you review the stock award details and or options that they give you, as well as things like your summary plan description for your 401k plan to know what your options are if you do decide to leave. So let's pretend you raise your hand to take the early retirement package, but you know, you're just not sure where your spending's going to go. You're not sure where your cash flow is going to go, but you have a huge 401k, but you're only 58 years old. Well, 58 is too early ordinarily to take money out of a retirement account without a 10% penalty for early withdrawal. But there's special rules around 401ks that if you terminate in the year you turn 55 by December 31st, for that 401k, you can actually take a distribution without a 10% penalty. It's still income tax, but no 10% penalty. So it's really important to understand, okay, if I can take it out without a 10% penalty, am I allowed to just take it when I need it, whenever I want it? You want to make sure that you're able to access it in a way that's going to work for you and your cash flow and your budget and things like that. As far as the restricted stock units as well, that could be important if you're retiring or resigning. Let's back up though a little bit, and then let's just say, well, what if I'm not retiring, but I've been given this, I've moved up in the company, they're awarding me with incentives, and I could take stock options, or I could take restricted stock units, or I could take cash. What's really interesting to me is I really had not been seeing this in several years back, but in more recent years, I'm seeing it more with either like kind of like tech companies seem to be giving their employees the option of how they want to take these, and they have different tax ramifications, more on the timing of the ramifications. For example, stock options, if I say, well, I'll take the stock options. So if they say, oh, here's a $10,000 award, you can have cash. Well, if I take cash, the cash comes into my, you know, bank account, I pay tax on it today, it's considered wages, and it's $10,000 taxed today. And I have the cash, the net of tax. I got it. That's great. No risk in that. Then I might have the option for RSUs, restricted stock units. As I said, they're going to award those. They might be a value of $10,000 today. I might not get them. And the numbers would probably vary, people, depending on if you take stock options or RSUs or cash. They could be different amounts. But let's say the RSUs are, you know, $13,000. Okay, the cash was $10,000. The restricted stock units are $13,000, but they're not going to be awarded for 3 years. In 3 years, those will be treated as wages and come into your paycheck. And you could take net shares, or you could cash it out. But the value is included in your tax return. But because you took a little risk with that in taking the RSUs, it could be worth more than $13,000, you know, in X number of years. Okay. And then stock options would be another option. But we are at the halfway point. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Folks, we're talking about tax planning in times of transition. I'm really just kind of throwing it all out there, and I'm going to kind of close the loop on the stock options and try to then talk, hopefully in the last half hour, about a number of more broader implications that probably affect more people than this stock, you know, situation I'm referring to. So stock options are when the company says, here, we're going to grant you stock options and at today's value, but and you can buy stock. Let's pretend they give them to you today and the stock cost $100 today. And they say, we're going to let you have these stock options, $100 or 10 shares at an exercise price of, what did I say? 10 shares at $100, $1,000 worth. And they vest over a certain, they grant them today, they vest over a certain period of time, and usually you have to exercise them by like 10 years. So the concept is they award it to you today, and it's kind of given to you, and then hopefully they appreciate over time, and you can exercise them after a certain date, and it could be a vesting schedule like, you know, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. Some I've been seeing faster vesting schedules where, again, these younger tech companies, I'm seeing they can vest every month, some portion of them. And the hope is if the stock price goes up, you're exercising them at, you know, $100 and they're worth, you know, 120. And there's value to that. And then some of that income then gets included on your tax return at that time. But because, again, you're taking a little bit more risk, not understanding where those stock options are going to go, they may give you more value than they would if they were giving you the cash. All right. So just kind of watch out for that. But generally, what I wanted to say is the stock options usually will, you know, once they've been granted, you know, can stay with you if you've met the vesting schedule as well. Meaning like the RSUs might not vest for 4 years, but the stock options might have a, you know, multiple year vesting schedule. So you may end up, if you were to leave the company, still have access to some of that benefit. So what other kind of mid-year changes might we have? Children, you know, you could have children on your tax return. This is where I mentioned at the top of the show, you could have a life event change. If you are employed and your employer provides a flexible spending account for dependent care, just remember, you have a life event. You can go in and now say, hey, I had a life event, even though I didn't do this at open enrollment. It was because I didn't have a child then. Because sometimes some of these options, they close the door. If you don't do it during open enrollment, you missed out. But if you have a life event, they let you update. And so if you have children mid-year and you're working for an employer that provides a flexible spending account for dependent care, and indeed you have dependent care, you can say you have a life event and update. And that's a tax savings for you to put money away through your payroll. You may have a circumstance where you have a child graduating from college, and let's say they graduate in May. They've been a full-time student for, you know, 5 months, including, you know, any part of May, and you paid for their tuition, you've paid for their college, they were living at home, you bought their car, you paid for their phone, their auto insurance, you know, their health insurance, and they're still living under your roof. You provide more than half of their half of their support. Be careful, because if they get a job now, this is the 1 year where they could be working and make money, but you still could probably claim them as a dependent. So, for example, tax planning strategy. I tell clients, you know, pay the tuition, you know, for the spring in January. We just had a client who could not claim the American Opportunity Tax Credit for his child who was in a four-year program because they were working and made too much money to qualify for the American Opportunity Credit. Well, they retired. And we knew in 2025 that there were going to be no more wages. They were retired. They have other sources of income. And guess what? Their son's graduating this year. He still could be claimed as a dependent. They're still providing more than half of his support. And we could take the American Opportunity Tax Credit to the extent they paid $4,000 of tuition out of pocket. You can't double dip, meaning if the cost of the education was completely covered by a 529 distribution, that's double dipping. But what we can do is say, well, if you had $4,000 out of pocket and covered everything else with the 529 monies, we can qualify that $4,000 for the American Opportunity Tax Credit as long as your income is below the threshold that qualifies for it. And we just got a $2,500 tax credit free. Now, I will add, as part of the tax planning in this period of transition, we actually would have lost the value of all those credits because this client in particular did not, because their wages were completely gone, they had interest, dividends, their income still wasn't high enough to get the full credit because some of the credit is not refundable. Only $1,000 of the $2,500 credit is refundable. So what could we do to maximize and not lose that other credit of $1,500, not only the $1,500 credit, the foreign tax credit, and the dependent credit of $500. We just did a little bit of a IRA conversion, put some extra money on the tax return. We have enough income. We qualify for all the tax credits, and we got $2,500 of free money, basically. So that's kind of like tax planning in transitions. With children, that could be part of that. The children also, if there's a child credit, a child tax credit, if your income's below married filing joint below $400,000, and you have a child under the age of 17, it's $2,000. And you also want to make sure that you qualify for that. So let's pretend you're someone, you're lucky enough to be making $410,000. Well, maybe with some extra contributions to a 401k, we bring you under $400,000 and now you qualify for the full, you know, $2,000 child tax credit. You could have filing status changes mid-year. Filing status changes could be marriage, could be death, could be divorce. These all have an impact, particularly divorce, because before you're divorced, you might be separate. You might be married filing separate. So those could be tax planning opportunities or maneuvering, you might want to call it, when you're looking at couples who may have been separated. It could make a big difference in some of your planning, particularly for clients who maybe you hear about gray divorces now. So people who are divorcing like in their 70s, if you're really mad at each other and you're not divorced yet and you don't want to file a joint return, so instead you do married filing separate. If you're on Medicare, that really hits you on the Medicare premiums. It really can hit you. So you want to watch out for things like that in married filing separate. You might want to just agree to file jointly until you're actually divorced and then would file single and wouldn't be impacted by that married filing separate punishments that we sometimes see. There could be a death, which could affect the filing status and the planning strategies that could happen there. So, for example, if you're married and you lose a spouse early in the year, they may have lost some of their Social Security. You may have lost a pension. So all of a sudden, the tax income that's on the tax return could really have a, you know, significant drop, perhaps. And it might be the last year you're filing married, filing joint. So you want to look at the tax return and say, you know, oh, what do we need to do for planning, if anything, to prepare? Because the next year you'll be a single filer and could be subject to higher tax rates. So maybe in the current year, if you have that time to plan, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we lose spouses, you know, December 31st, unfortunately. But if there's a time runway, we can do a little bit more planning in those circumstances as well. You might have lifestyle changes. You may have health changes. You may have disability. You might have someone who needs long-term care. Lifestyle changes could impact your tax planning. So, for example, if all of a sudden you have mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, and one of them goes into nursing care and they have huge medical bills and they didn't have long-term care, but they have the cost of long-term care out of pocket, then there may be really large Schedule A medical deductions that they may be eligible to take, but they may not have corresponding income to take advantage of that deduction. So there have been cases where we will be able to convert IRA money if that couple has IRAs. We can convert it to Roth IRAs to put extra money on the tax return in order to get that deduction and maybe with no tax cost. Okay, so you know, we want to watch out for changes in lifestyle for medical expenses. Maybe it's even disability. Disability income on a tax return may or may not be taxable depending on how you obtained the disability policy. That could be a tax planning review as well. So for people who are buying disability policies or you have long-term disability opportunities through work, you always want to do it on an after-tax basis, because if you're the one buying the disability insurance and you pay for it on an after-tax basis, if you end up being disabled, that would not be income taxable to you. But if you took a deduction for those premiums that you've paid when you would be or happen to be eligible for disability payments, that is what makes it taxable. All right. Now, sometimes an employer might pay for it and provide it. And then typically we see disability could be taxable in those cases, usually for federal, not usually, at least in Pennsylvania. Mid-year changes, pensions. You may have pension options. And again, this is one of those things where you want to look at your tax return for the year. If you're making a pension election and perhaps you left work and you worked for most of the year and maybe you took an early retirement package and now you're choosing pension elections, well, do you really want that to start in a year when you've just peaked your income from all these other, you know, opportunities you were given? Maybe you want to make your pension start the next year when your income is down. Those pension elections also could be impacted by the pension election you choose. If you're choosing, you know, single life, if you're alone, hey, no problem, single life. But if you're married, if you're choosing single life and you die the next day, you've just, you know, wiped out that benefit that you accumulated over the years and a surviving spouse wouldn't get anything. So you really want to study the pension elections as to what is available to you and when you decide to take them, take the pension if it is available to you. So many people don't have pensions anymore, but if to the extent you do have one available, make sure you understand your pension election options. Quite often you have to go online and print that off yourself. In the old days, we'd had to go to HR and ask HR to run the illustration. It might take a week, but nowadays you can get them quite quick. Pay attention to when you say you're going to stop working and when you're going to commence the pension, because it could change the values of what you're going to illustrate. Make sure you pay attention to those dates and that you put in your spouse. If you're married, you want to put in your spouse's date of birth because that impacts the survivor benefit calculation as well. Folks, we're at the last break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. We're talking about tax planning in times of transitions, mid-year changes. We talked about job reductions, job loss, FSAs, healthcare options, job opportunities with bonuses and awards, early retirement packages, resigning versus retiring, children, having children or children becoming independent, filing status changes, pension option elections. We also, you know, big tax planning transition would be Social Security elections. When are you electing to collect Social Security? You know, most advisors can run illustrations on that. But I always say it just depends on each person's circumstances. Remember, your financial life is as unique as your thumbprint. And you can't always go by, you know, what your neighbor is doing, what your coworker is doing, what your friend is doing, or what your family is doing. It's very unique to you, and it's not just financial. Sometimes it's personal. Sometimes it's emotional. So you want to factor all that in. As far as Social Security goes, I've been hearing, you know, people are worried that, you know, Social Security might go away. You know, they've been saying that for a long, long time. I think there's always ways that they can patch that, and I'm sure that they'll come up with something eventually here. I want to talk about new year changes. So in 2026, when we talk about tax planning and in times of transition, that transition can also be a transition to a new age bracket. So for people who have employer plans, 401ks, you know probably that you can contribute certain amounts to your 401k and get a tax deduction today. And then in the future, when you take it out, of course, it would be income taxable. But those amounts go up every year. So for people under age 50, the amount is $24,500 for 2026. If you're 50 and over, The basic is $8,000 more, so that's a total of $32,500 for 2026. But here's a super catch-up that some people may not be aware of, and it allows a total contribution of $35,750 for people who are 60 to 63. So if you're 60 to 63 in 2026, you actually could do, instead of an $8,000 catch-up, you could do an $11,250 catch-up, for a total of $35,750, all right? Now, there is something that's changing in 2026 that you also have to be aware of. So in ordinarily, like currently, if I put money into a 401k, 23.5 and another, what was it, 7,500? If I put our 8,000, 31.5 into a 401k this year, it can all go in pre-tax. Now, different employers can allow you to maybe put money into a Roth, or if they have that feature in the 401k plan. So you can do Roth contributions, but then you're not getting a tax deduction today. So when I see people with really high income doing the Roth, I'm always a little bit confused, because to me, it's always, you want to do the Roth when you're in a low tax bracket. But what's going to happen in 2026 is people who make over a certain dollar amount are going to have to defer it, the catch-up contribution, into the Roth if the Roth feature is available in your employer plan. So some employer plans who didn't previously offer the Roth feature have to scramble and add the Roth feature to their plan if they want to comply with this. All right. So here's the Roth catch-up contribution change. Starting in 2026, high income earners over age 50 who contribute more than, I think it's who made more than $145,000 in the previous year, must make their catch-up contributions on a Roth after-tax basis. So that will impact your taxes as well. But frankly, from my perspective, if you can get money into the Roth and you have to do it, you know, you're required to, as long as your cash flow allows it and your budget allows it, I think it's still worth deferring money. And then what happens, you build up that Roth tax-free piece a little bit faster because you that's where the catch-up goes. All right? So just be aware of that. And so what happens in periods of transition as well is we have cash flow planning. So sometimes you want to make sure that you're not putting yourself into a position where you're inadvertently causing yourself to go into a higher tax bracket because you didn't do planning and you end up having to use, you know, IRA money instead of cash perhaps, and you have a big expense and now you just threw your income over. Over what? What is my next thought? Over what, Lori? Well, there's a new deduction called the senior deduction under the recent tax legislation that if you're married filing joint and your income is less than $150,000 and you're 65 years old, you get an extra deduction of $6,000. And if you're married filing joint, you get that $6,000 each. So that's an extra deduction of $12,000. That's kind of nice if you can manage to keep your income under $150,000. Maybe easy for retirees, maybe not so easy for people who are still working past 65, because some people work past age 65. So to the extent you can manage that income a little bit, you can take advantage of that extra deduction. So when we talk about cash flow planning in your retirement years, if we're having to take a lot of extra money out of, you know, taxable accounts like 401ks or IRAs, then we could be pushing that income, which reduces the deduction. So a real quick example, you might think you're in a 22% tax bracket, but because you lost that, you know, extra $12,000 deduction, that extra money might actually, you know, that you take out might actually cost you, you know, 24.6. I saw that on a recent tax review. So that's what we kind of watch there. Some other items in the end of my show here, when we talk about transitions and tax planning, I would like to mention inheritances. So a client just emailed us that without telling us ahead of time. So sometimes remember the be proactive, not reactive. They inherited an annuity, and it was an IRA annuity. Now, when you are a non-spouse inheriting an IRA, you have options on that. You have to take it out usually within 10 years, and if the owner of that IRA was in required minimum distribution age, then you would have to take a required minimum distribution as well. So let's pretend in my story that you inherited a $125,000 IRA annuity, and perhaps your required minimum distribution might have been, you know, let's say you're 70, and I'm making this all up. Your required minimum distribution over your life expectancy at age 70 might be, you know, $4,000. So you'd only have to take out $4,000 this year, but by year 10, you'd have to take out the whole 125. Okay, so you're staying with me here. So within 10 years, under the new rules for non-spouse beneficiaries, you have to take the whole thing out. But why would it be really important for me to kind of know about this ahead of time and be proactive is if in this current year, I know that your required minimum distribution on that inheritance might only be $4,000. And I know that you sold something that had, you know, a $200,000 gain, and you have Social Security and you have a pension and you have some, you know, other investment income. And I add $125,000 to that tax return, if you decide to take it all at once, I could really be throwing you into a higher tax bracket. But if I knew about it and I said, hey, don't take out the whole IRA this year, let's only take out your minimum amount because, hey, remember, we have that huge sale that we have to report on your tax return. That's really going to throw you into higher income, not only higher income tax brackets, but higher Medicare premium thresholds. Then, you know, if we can manage this, let's do that. And so maybe we only take $4,000 this year, but if you really want to cash it out, why don't we just wait to cash it out next year? or cashed out over 5 years so that you don't have it all hit in the 10th year. We could cash it out over 10 years. We could spread it out and make it smoother and not hit your tax return all at once. So this is where it can make a difference. Number one, being proactive, not reactive. And number two, make sure you let your financial advisor know ahead of time so they can help you do some really much better planning. So this is what I'm talking about, periods of transition. It could be, as I said, job changes. It could be lifestyle changes with filing status, families, marriage, divorce, having children. But transitions could also be those periods of time where you may have an inheritance and knowing what to do with that. The other thing that you may inherit, so retirement accounts, be very aware of how the rules work for inherited IRAs. You want to make sure it goes to an inherited IRA and not completely distributed. At least when you, if you inherit an IRA from a non-spouse and you put it into an inherited IRA, you have time to figure it out versus just cashing things out. And there are times when I tell clients to cash things out. If you inherit a $5,000 IRA, I might tell you just cash it out. That might not, you know, make an impact on your tax return, but $125,000 definitely makes an impact. Same thing with annuities. Pay attention to annuities. If it's a non-qualified annuity, meaning it's not in a retirement account, you know, be aware of the tax consequences. Some people don't understand when you're pulling money out of an annuity, depending on how you do it, it could have different tax consequences. Annuities that are non-qualified, typically you've invested in it. So if I invested $25,000, I'll call it $30,000 in an annuity 20 years ago, and that $30,000 is now worth $100,000, if I need money and I pull $5,000 from that annuity, the gain comes out first. And it's not long-term capital gain, it's ordinary income. That's why I'm not such a fan of annuities. They come out as ordinary income. So that could be, you may not realize that. Now, if you annuitize it, you say, oh, just start paying me an annuity every year. Well, now there's an element of a return of your original investment, your cost basis, and an element of gain on that. So you kind of now, when in annuitizing it, you have some that's taxable and some that's not taxable. So watch out for that. Always, always try to know what the original investment was in that annuity. And be careful, because if you're not used to this, you may not realize that if you had an annuity that you exchanged into another annuity, that you exchanged into another annuity, that you exchanged into another annuity, you may not realize the cost basis. So typically, that information is shared each time you exchange it into a new annuity. And the reason I mention exchange into a new annuity is because you can exchange annuities tax-free into another one if you want to defer the tax and go into maybe a better annuity that's, you know, giving you a better return. All right, so inheritances could come from IRAs, could come from annuities. And know that if you do inherit securities, maybe your parent had a brokerage account and you're inheriting securities, well, those should get, the stock should get a step up in basis to the date of death value. And most custodians track that cost basis for you now. Just make sure it gets entered properly so that it's, you know, captured within the within the custodian, so that if you do sell something, they have the right cost basis. And the other thing that happens is it's automatically all long term when you inherit securities, non-qualified investment accounts. Okay, guys, just in time because I'm running out of voice here. Next week, I'll probably do some year-end tax planning, charitable, you know, giving kind of conversation. Haven't really thought about it yet. It'll be a potpourri next week. But remember to think ahead, be proactive, anticipate, and think about your transition planning. If I could just, you know, push that to get you to think and trust yourself and being proactive, that would be great. Thank you, Bob and Cindy, for being here. Thank you, Bridger, for being here. Thank you, listeners. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.